Hello and welcome to the Rush Hour. It's Friday, the 8th of July. Pope Benedict has begun his summer vacation. With an update of all his activities, here's H2O News.
Everyone needs a vacation every now and then, and the Pope is no exception. This week, Benedict XVI will head out to his usual spot, Castel Gandolfo, a small village just south of Rome. Things won't be as busy as they are in the Eternal City, but still, the Pope will have plenty to do. On Sundays, he'll hold the Angelus and Papal Blessing for the public, and on his free time, he's reportedly planning on finishing the third and last part of his book, Jesus of Nazareth. The Pope plans to stay at Castel Gandolfo for the entire months of July and August, and most of September, but there will be some exceptions. The Holy Father is planning on going to Madrid for World Youth Day in August, and also to Germany from September 22nd to the 25th. During the months of July and August, there won't be any general audiences in St. Peter's Square. The first general audience in Castel Gandolfo will be held on August 3rd, and the last week of September, the Pope will be back in Rome.
The president of the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference, Monsignor Philip Wilson, has asked Australians to show solidarity with the new Republic of South Sudan, the youngest state in the world. With an explanation of recent events in the country, here's an excerpt from a video released yesterday by Aid to the Church in Need.
In January 2011, after a series of brutal civil wars and the loss of millions of lives, the people of southern Sudan overwhelmingly voted to secede from the Muslim-governed north. The referendum was peaceful and confirmed by the UN, with 99% of those registered casting their ballots in favour of independence.
There was a huge movement of people to vote. People in Tarit, they went to queue at midnight. They told reporters, we could not sleep, so what did we do? We went to the voting station, we sat down, we sang, we danced, we talked, waiting for this big moment that was happening.
I was really happy. That is the first time for me to vote in my life. I'm now 42 years old. You can imagine it.
The Catholic Church played an important role in preparing the southern Sudanese for the referendum. The pulpit became a place of teaching regarding the terms of the peace agreement and the voting process. The 101 days of prayer initiated by the bishops was crucial to the peaceful disposition of hearts and minds and the non-violent outcome on that historic day. With their homeland now free from war, Christians trapped for years in temporary shelters in the Khartoum refugee camps are returning to the south to start a new life. The Catholic Church, which has always stood by the side of the oppressed through the dire times of war, will now see its mission change and focus on building a strong community of the faithful. The task is great, and locals are counting on the help of Christians from around the world. The people of South Sudan are awakening to the birth of the world's newest nation, their nation, which they built on the foundation of suffering and prayer.
A priceless 12th century Catholic manuscript is missing from the cathedral at Santiago de Compostela in Spain and is presumed to be stolen. The Codex Calixtinus is a medieval guidebook written for those on pilgrimage to the historic Galatian town where the Apostle St. James is traditionally believed to be buried. Father Jose Mario Diaz Fernandez, the dean and archivist of the cathedral, was alerted to the loss on Tuesday evening. He called the police to the scene on Wednesday. He said it was the first time such a thing happened in the archive and asked for prayers to St. James to help recover the book as soon as possible. The manuscript, possibly commissioned by Pope Calixtus II, helped popularise a pilgrimage route that drew over 270,000 pilgrims in 2010. The author of the book tells how medieval pilgrims travelled from as far away as Scotland to the north and Asia to the east to pray at the tomb of the Apostle. Its purpose, though, was largely practical, with advice for those travelling to the shrine. It also includes a history of St. James, sermons ascribed to the Apostle, and songs and poems in his honour. One of the Pope's closest collaborators, Archbishop Fernando Filoni, has told Rome Reports that the pontiff has all the qualities of a good priest. Archbishop Filoni is now prefect of the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples. Here are some of his words about Pope Benedict.
During personal meetings we held when I was the Vatican's Deputy Secretary of State, I felt his extraordinary priestly humanity. That trait is typical of someone who loves the priesthood. He would always thank me for work I had done or for work that was being done. When I would talk to him about an ill person, he would remember and ask me about it during our next meeting, even if weeks had passed. He showed concern for all the people I told him about.
Lui per tutta la vita.
Jesus Christ has interested the Pope throughout his life. I would say the pinnacle of this is in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. It's the fruit of his meditation, his thought, his writings and teachings throughout his 60 years of priesthood. It helps many of us to remember the day of our ordination. It's important for priests to keep it in our memory. Personally, I always, in any event, feel and have felt the need to return to the beginning of my priestly life and to recall that time. It's something we should not forget.
The canonical situation of the Society of St. Pius X has not changed, and therefore the recent ordinations carried out by bishops of the group are illicit, confirmed the Vatican spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi. He addressed SSPX priestly ordinations in response to questions at a press conference on Tuesday. He referred to Pope Benedict's letter of March 2009 and reaffirmed what has been stated in response to similar situations in the past. He said, while the fraternity does not have a canonical position in the church, its ministers cannot exercise legitimate ministries in the church. Until the questions concerning doctrine are clarified, the fraternity has no canonical status in the church, and its ministers do not legitimately exercise any ministry in the church. Hence, Father Lombardi concluded, the ordinations are considered illegitimate. So far this year, SSPX has carried out some 20 priestly ordinations. Speaking in Kansas City on the 1st of July, the Vatican's UN official, Archbishop Francis Assisi Chulicut, said there is no longer a moral justification for the continued maintenance of nuclear weapons. He called for a comprehensive convention aimed at the phase-out of all nuclear weapons from the world. He said that viewed from a legal, political, security, and most of all moral perspective, there is no justification today for the continued maintenance of nuclear weapons, and continued, this is the moment to begin addressing in a systematic way the legal, political, and technical requisites for a nuclear weapons-free world. And finally today, this week's Vatican Report, courtesy of H2O News and John Tavis of the Catholic News Service. This week, an unusual exhibit at the Vatican which underlined the historic connection between popes and the world of art.
This show was in honor of Pope Benedict's 60 years as a priest, and it featured some very contemporary pieces that may have required some explanation. I'm Cindy Wooden.
And I'm John Tavis. The Vatican's idea was to invite 60 artists to create works for Pope Benedict. They included paintings and sculpture, but also music, poetry, and even a film montage. Before the show went on display, Pope Benedict was given a private tour and a chance to talk with each of the artists. Now, some of the creations were self-explanatory, like the model of a futuristic church, and some were not, like the installation that depicted a tree growing out of a man's head.
Some people might be surprised that the traditionally minded Pope Benedict would be so pleased with this tribute of contemporary works. After all, he has sent aides into the Vatican storerooms for old liturgical furnishings, and he loves truly classical music. But the Pope has also reached out to modern artists. 2 years ago, he invited international artists to a meeting in the Sistine Chapel, and he said he wanted to renew the Church's friendship with the world of art.
On that occasion, the Pope said that beauty can become a path toward the transcendent, toward the ultimate mystery, toward God. That's been the belief of the Church down through the ages. All you have to do is look around the Vatican and its museums to see how popes have probably been history's greatest patrons of the arts. Rome is full of great basilicas, fresco cycles, statues, and mosaics, even city squares and fountains that were all commissioned by popes.
The best known example of this is the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel with Michelangelo's frescoes. And it was in the Sistine Chapel that Pope Paul VI celebrated Mass for artists in 1964 during the Second Vatican Council. That encounter was part of Pope Paul's efforts to rebuild bridges with the artists of the world. Like Pope Benedict, he worried that the connection between the church and artists was deteriorating.
Pope Paul recognized that there was less and less artistic patronage by church leaders, and that the church was communicating less in images and more in words. At the same time, he said artists had abandoned the church as well and begun producing art that, as he put it, was offensive to humanity. In short, the church and artists had gone their separate ways. One thing Pope Paul did was to open a new wing of the Vatican Museums for contemporary art, and he populated it with nearly 800 modern works acquired on the international market.
Not all of these contemporary works found in the Vatican Museums have been as universally praised as Michelangelo's ceiling. In fact, visitors sometimes wonder why the Vatican bothers with modern art. But Pope Benedict sees a definite value in fostering this relationship. As he told artists in 2009, the church not only appreciates artists, it needs them. I'm Cindy Wooden.
And I'm John Thavis, Catholic News Service.
And that's it for today's Rush Hour. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be with you again next week. In the meantime, have a great weekend. God bless.